Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
We all know that we need to eat more fruits and vegetables. We've got to get those veggies in. People, it is so important. And here on Talk Healthy Today, I like to have great people on who create amazing recipes that are delicious and easy and get your whole family excited about eating healthy. So I am so excited to have Kim Campbell on the program. She's the author of the Plant Pure Kitchen and the Plant Pure Nation Cookbook. And if her name sounds familiar, she's a daughter-in-law of Dr. T. Colin Campbell. And I've interviewed him numerous times, and I'm thrilled to have Kim on the program. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
It's so nice to have you on. I hope you don't get tired of people, you know, mentioning that, but I have to wonder, did he have a big influence on you in terms of getting into plants and recipes and cooking, or is this something that you were into and you're like, oh, wait, how cool, look at my father-in-law?
No, absolutely. He had a huge influence on you know, my change and my transition to this. But, you know, I met the Campbells a long time ago when I was 16 is when Nelson and I met. So when I met Nelson, he was doing his research in China. So I was actually front and center of what was going on with the research and what he was learning. So it was exciting for me. I also was very interested in health and wellness. In fact, thought I wanted to go into nursing school or some aspect of that. So, no, he's had a huge impact on my life.
Oh, that is fantastic. Well, you know, I want to jump right into this book because here on Foodie Friday, we like to help people to be able to know what to put in their kitchen, what to stock, what should be in their pantry so they can make the greatest foods ever. So, okay, so let's talk about this. So we have got Getting Started, Plant-Based Pantry Items for the Beginner. Walk us through some of these, Kim.
Yeah. Some of the things that, you know, I tell people and when I'm doing a cooking class is to really start with the basics. You know, getting beans and, you know, lots of starches like rice and try a variety of starches. And then really build your spice rack because that is really what adds a lot of flavor and zip to your food. And then there's condiments, things like vinegars, srirachas, different Thai curries and pastes and things like that. That really adds a lot of depth to your cooking, and always having a good dash of nuts on hand. Like I use nuts to build creamy dressings or sauces. So, you know, beginning there and then having really good tools to start with because the pantry is important, but having those items in your kitchen that make building some of these recipes is always pretty important.
Well, talk to it. I'm assuming the Vitamix or some sort of high-speed blender?
Yeah, a Vitamix. You know, I'm always reluctant to tell people to invest in a Vitamix because it's very expensive. And I know with my three kids, when they went off to college, they, of course, wanted to take my Vitamix with them.
But my daughter will want to take ours, too, someday. It's awesome.
Yeah, well, I got all of them a Nutribullet, and that seemed to suffice for their needs. And actually, they've had them for several years. So if you're just starting and you're just kind of building up, that's an inexpensive way to begin. So when I developed the pantry list and the items, the tools to have in your kitchen, I was kind of thinking about what I sent my kids, you know, off to college with, so that they had those essentials because all three of them love to cook and they're really good cooks. So I think it was hard for them to leave this pantry.
I bet. Now, what about a spiralizer? That's a big thing nowadays, especially if you're trying to get more veggies in your diet and trying to be creative and make it more fun.
Funny you mentioned that because I'm doing a video on one of those today. I had a couple of them. They're a lot of fun, particularly if you are, you know, looking to incorporate more raw into your diet. I know that I've used zucchinis to make pasta with. Sometimes beets are fun to spiral. One in particular that we're going to videotape is we take sweet potatoes and spiralize them, and then I just slightly blanch them, and they make really beautiful noodles that you know, they don't have all the processed flours and things in them. So I use mine. I wouldn't say I use it, you know, weekly, but I do get it out on special occasions.
Now, which one do you have? Because I've been researching, and you'll go on Amazon, and like half the people love it, and half the people give it like half a star or says it totally stinks. I'm like, okay, so how does some people say it works amazingly, and other people are like, I can't stand this product? So if you have any suggestions, we would love to know.
I've had three of them. I started out with the, I think it was called the Vegetti, which is just a little handheld one, you know, that I was running through,
that.
And that was a royal pain. So then I don't remember the brand of the second one I got, but it really was hard to crank. And I finally got a Paderno because I had heard that those were the best, and I really like that one. I would say that's probably the five-star of the three I've tried. And I know that there are several people out there that have had a lot of success with the Paderno. And there's three different blades that go with it. You can choose the size noodle or slice that you want.
Now, how do you spell that?
Paderno. Paderno.
Okay, I'm going to
check that out. And I got mine on Amazon.
Oh, cool. Okay, yeah, I'd like to be able to give people advice and tips and products they can actually get that from somebody like you, especially, who utilizes them. You know, let's talk a little bit about meal planning and organization, because this is an area that I definitely need help in. You know, I mentioned this on the show before, but I have a Whole Foods about 3 minutes from my house, which is a blessing and a curse. Mm-hmm. I like it because I have a home studio, and I am alone except for my three dogs, and I get to talk to great people like you. But there's, you know, I like to get out. I like to, you know, talk to people, and I know all the people at the store, and I like to chit chat and all that, or all the people working at the store, I should say. But I end up going just every day, and then I spend too much money because I don't meal plan as well. So what are some tips for meal planning?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have an Instant Pot, so I tend to make things in batches. I usually have plenty of starches in my refrigerator, potatoes, rice, and I keep those in baggies, and I use them for things like burgers, or if we're just, you know, topping them, baked potatoes we have for lunch. So kind of think about the starches that you're going to use during the week. And then I cook my own beans. And this week we happen to be eating black beans because that's what I cooked over the weekend. And so we'll use them in different ways. We'll make tacos with them. We'll put them on top of potatoes for lunch. So think about your protein or your bean. Sometimes I roast tofu, and we'll have that for salad toppers. And then I tend to make a chopped salad, you know, on the weekends or early in the week, and just take my food processor out and process cauliflower and broccoli, kale, and just and cabbage. Dump it all in a big Tupperware, and it will last for several days. So then we take it out, and I might add some more of the wet vegetables to it, like corn or beans or cucumbers, tomatoes. And we make big, I call them monster salads. And we might have rice in it. Or, you know, I might throw, you know, guacamole on it, whatever you really want it to be. But if you think about meals in terms of those components, and then having some dressings and sauces, so I usually create a couple of dressings during the week. Nelson and I we're pretty good eaters, so if I don't have things on hand, we're probably going to go out to eat, which is more expensive. And it doesn't need to be expensive if you plan and think ahead in those terms. And then maybe picking out a really fun recipe or two that you want to cook during the week, in addition to all of those things I just mentioned, it actually comes out to be much, much more expensive than if you're cooking a single recipe every single night. So using the build-a-bowl style is what I call it, and then picking out a couple of recipes during the week. And for someone like yourself,
I like that.
You know, single, I would make plenty and then freeze things too, burgers and casseroles, things like that.
Now, you said the Instant Pot. What is that? What did you mean by that? You mean just things that you can just take and throw all, like you have them already prepared in the fridge and you just throw it all together?
Oh, do you not know what an Instant Pot is, Lisa?
I do not know what an Instant Pot is.
Okay.
I know you're thinking, how is she hosting a Foodie Friday show and she doesn't know what an Instant Pot is?
Yeah,
this isn't
well,
a crock pot, is
I
it?
Love
is this
my
something
Instant
else?
Pot. What it is it's a pressure cooker. And I can't give you the exact price on them. They're somewhere between $100 and $120, but you can get a coupon code through Plant Pure Nation. But and there's a lot of other people that have coupon codes. I think Chef AJ has one as well. But you can cook things in a very short amount of time. Like a stew, you can cook it in 4 to 5 minutes under high pressure. And the nice thing about the Instant Pot is it cooks things under high pressure. It also sautés. It's a slow cooker, so if you want it to be a crock pot, it makes yogurt, which we use a lot. I just put my soy milk and my probiotics in it, stick it in the Instant Pot, and in the morning we have yogurt. So
That's
it's well worth it because we cook almost all of our beans from dry, and I don't have to think about it 10 days in front, soaking and cooking. You just put it right in the Instant Pot and cook them for an hour, and they're really soft and tender. So I always tell people that's one of my favorite kitchen appliances that I have right now, and I have two. I take them to all my cooking classes as well.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I have to get that because I always use canned beans because beans are a pain in the rump. I'm thinking, wow, she makes her own beans? And I was about to ask, well, how do you do that? Because you got to soak them overnight, and then you have to drain them, you have to rinse them, and da-da-da-da-da. It's like, why not just buy a can of beans? But if you can make it in the Instapot, and what did you say for the stew? Did you say 45 minutes?
Well, the beans take me about, if I start from dry, they take me about 60 minutes, depending on the bean, give or take 5 or 10 minutes. But if I make African stew, that's in the cookbook, in the first cookbook. If I make that in the Instant Pot and I use pre-cooked chickpeas and I put the potatoes in there raw, it will finish. It'll be done cooking in about 6 minutes.
Oh, my God. Okay, you did say 4 to 5 minutes. I didn't know if you said 45 or 4 to 5, but I guess, wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, 4 to 5, if you're just putting potatoes in there or something like that. But if you're starting from a raw bean, a dry bean, sorry, it's about 60 minutes. But still, that's significant when you consider how much time it takes to soak and stovetop. Another way you can cook dried beans is, I know Mary McDougal, I learned this from her. She puts them in the crock pot and just cooks them overnight. And that works, too.
Yeah, that's true. I was going to say, I am being lazy. I do have a crock pot. But the Instant Pot sounds really cool and fun. I want to get that. And speaking of stews, I'm looking at your soups and stews. Pumpkin soup. I love pumpkin. Cream of broccoli. A creamy white bean. Easy black bean. Green curry coconut soup. That grabs my attention because I am all about, I love coconut. I love coconut milk. I love curry. Tell us about this soup.
Well, that kind of comes from, I had gone to a restaurant and had a soup like that, and so I was trying to recreate those flavors, and I always go to, have you heard of the Thai kitchen brand curries? There's a green curry paste, and there's a red curry paste, and I believe that's one of the bases in that particular recipe. Those pastes are really nice because they don't have oil in them. But they combine a variety of ingredients that really just add to flavor. So I use those almost all the time when I'm making a curry, a red or a green. That's
so
the base of that particular recipe.
Oh, that's fantastic. Another one that caught my eye was, I mean, they're all catching my eye, but I like to make the Moroccan stew as well.
Yes, I like that one too. That's a sweet stew. Kind of a Middle Eastern flair, kind of tomato-y. It's got eggplant, and I believe it has quite a few carrots in it. But that's a really hearty a meal in and of itself, and that's something would be perfect for the Instant Pot.
Oh, that sounds great. You know, in the book, you also have entrees, pasta with white bean basil sauce. That sounds so good. Aztec quinoa, bourbon mushrooms. I'm getting really hungry here. Getting back to Thai, you've got pad Thai. Scalloped potatoes. Tell us how you do those. Because I think people always think of dairy, right, and cheese when they think of something being scalloped.
That was one of my favorite foods growing up. And my mother still, my parents are not plant-based. Kind of interesting story, but they're not plant-based. So every time I had a baby or I was sick, she would come and make scalloped potatoes with ham. So I was always picking the ham out. She's a little stubborn, so she was going to still sneak that ham in there. So, that was probably one of my favorite dishes growing up. To me, it was easy to make it plant-based because if you just, you can substitute out an almond milk or a soy milk and then just thicken it with, I use flour, but you could use cornstarch certainly if you have a gluten sensitivity. And then just layer it with onions and seasonings. Really, really basic recipe. And if you notice with this cookbook, I don't know if you noticed it, Lisa, but I don't have a lot of recipes that are gluten based. I had a lot of people who for some reason or another are gluten sensitive. So when we put the book together, we really kept that in mind. I didn't really do it purposely, but I did keep it in mind. And we don't eat a lot of gluten here because I don't use a lot of flour products. So if you're gluten free, this is a great book to use.
Oh, definitely. You know, another one that caught my eye is the Southwestern Chili Mac. That sounds so yummy.
Oh, the mac and cheese with the beans in it and the, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the beans and the vegetables. Because to me, it was a play on chili con carne and macaroni and cheese. How can you combine the two? So we just kind of threw it all together. That has a lot of flavor, and there's squash and sweet potatoes in the base. And I'm hesitating here because I don't have my book open. And I have to tell you, when I create recipes, I do it different every time. And whatever I have on hand for that particular recipe, I might use a sweet potato or I might use a butternut squash, whatever I have on hand to create.
Now, is that what gives it like the cheesiness to it? Is it either the sweet potato or the butternut squash?
Yes, it's what kind of gives it that thickness without having to add a lot of cashews and nuts. Because you can start with a cheese sauce and make a base with cashews and milk and then season it up. Or you can reduce your cashews and add things that are a little bit more starchy, like sweet potatoes or squash, to get that thickness. So I was always trying to reduce the amount of cashews that we were using as well, because that adds a lot of fat to a recipe. So that's actually one of the recipes we're putting into our frozen line. We have a Plant Pure Nation frozen line, and one of the additions is macaroni and cheese. And that was hard. It was hard to get it in the frozen line because when you are freezing food and reheating food, if you don't have enough oils and fats, things begin to separate and they curdle. So we really worked hard to get that recipe to work for the frozen line.
Wow, how do we get those? I mean, I didn't know this. I need to try these.
Oh, you didn't know about our frozen line?
I didn't. No,
it's kind of an interesting story. We've had a little bit of a disappointing week because it went up on Amazon a week ago. The 10 meals, and we started selling quite a bit of them. And then we noticed that our seals at the warehouse, the seals were broken. So we had to send them back to the co-packer, and they're working on it now. So we took them down from Amazon on Friday, but we're hoping to get them up very, very soon. Right now we're just working on making sure those seals are glued properly. There's a lot that goes into manufacturing frozen food, and we're learning.
Oh, I bet. I can't even imagine. It seems like an awful lot of work. And what's so great is with your cookbooks,
my role
you can make stuff yourself.
I'm involved in the recipe development and the cookbook and, you know, all of those components of food. So I've had a lot of parameters around food, what I can do and what I can't do. Sometimes it's just fun to get in my kitchen and create and just have fun with food without anybody telling me what the rules are.
Now, when you're able to do that, what do you gravitate towards? What do you like to make?
I think I tend to gravitate towards potatoes, and I like beans. I love cooking a variety of beans and making bean sauces. For me, it's very satisfying. It's easy, it's inexpensive, and most people really enjoy beans. We do. So when I do a cooking class, that's always something I show is, you know, how to make either smoky beans or like a Mexican-style refried bean, baked beans, different things like that. And we like potatoes in our house. We eat a lot of potatoes.
Now, we only have a couple minutes left, but you got me curious with the bean sauce. What exactly is that? Is that, I'm assuming it's a sauce that you make from beans and add other things to it?
Right. I make a black bean sauce, so I cook them in the Instant Pot with hot peppers, maybe a jalapeno or a poblano, an onion, and then I spice it up with chili powder, garlic, and then I cook the beans for a long time, and then when they're done, I just put my little immersion blender in there and kind of make it creamy. And then that makes almost like a black bean soup. But as you put it in the refrigerator and it sits, it gets thicker and thicker, and then it begins to look more like refried beans after it sits for a while. So I do a lot of those types of recipes just to have on hand for the week.
Oh, that sounds so great. You know what I've been making? Well, I haven't been making it lately. What I've been getting lately is this wonderful white bean pasta. Now, it is a mix of white beans and brown rice, but it's fantastic. Have you ever tried that? I mean, it's sensational.
No. So you get this pasta at Whole Foods, I'm assuming.
No, I actually don't sell it there. I actually get it at a little natural grocer a few towns up. But it's the company is Al Dente, and I'm telling you, it's phenomenal. And I don't even make regular pasta, and my 12-year-old and I just like gobble it up, and it's got a ton of fiber and a ton of protein, and it's absolutely delicious. And it has like a light consistency of almost like an egg noodle, but without an eggy flavor. There's no egg or anything, but it's just, oh, it's tasty. It's really, really good. And speaking of tasty, tell us where we can find your book. The time goes by so fast, and where we can get your frozen foods that you're talking about again.
Yes, you can buy, both cookbooks are available on our website, plantpurenation.com. You can get the cookbooks on Amazon. When the meals are ready, and they should be ready probably within a week or two, we're still working on that, but you can get the meals through plantpurenation.com. We also have a dry line, which I probably don't have time to tell you about that, but we have food on our website, and then Amazon will start to carry our food here very shortly. But if you go to our website, all the information is on there about the food. It's plantpurenation.com.
Oh, that's great. No, just tell us for like a minute about your dry line.
The dry line, we have 12 different meals, and I think of the dry line as a meal kit, kind of a hamburger helper style, plant-based. So we have things like red lentil dal, we have chili, we have a split pea soup, we have a tetrazzini, an Alfredo sauce, a mac and cheese. So you add 3 to 5 ingredients, you add the fresh produce, and you can build it in your home. And the reasoning behind that was that as people transition, sometimes they need the frozen food to start, to jumpstart in, and they become more connected to their food, and they start to utilize the dry line and build their meals. And then hopefully they'll end up using the cookbooks and become independent chefs. You will, but
I think it's such a great way to go.
We're trying to really get people to, you know, take ownership with their food and be successful in the kitchen.
Well, Kim, I think it's awesome. I want to thank you so much for coming on Talk Healthy Today. Please check us out on Facebook at Talk Healthy Today Podcast, Instagram at Talk_Healthy_Today, Twitter at Talk Healthy Today, the number 2, and Snapchat at Talk Healthy Today. I want to thank everyone for listening. I'm running out to get an Instant Pot the instant this is done, pun intended. Thank you so much and stay well.